come to you at the close of this beautiful day. It is always in reverence to thee and thy holy name, and with a desire to express our thanks unto thee for the gift of thy Son, for his love and tender compassion, for the life that he gave and lived that we might have life, and for the gospel of Christ, and for the preservation of the Holy Word. We're grateful for the many prayers that you've heard and have extended thy love and tender compassion, and for your patience and kindness. We pray, Father, that as we come and gather together this evening to hear thy servant speak, we pray that each of our hearts might be in tune to that spirit that carries a message of life, and that he would be used as an instrument in thy hand of thy choosing to bring forth those things that you have placed upon his heart and upon his mind. That you would be merciful unto those throughout the nations of the world, especially those of the little children. We pray, Father, that you'd bless them. That you'd be with our brothers in the field, wherever they might be. Those in Africa. We pray, Father, that you would be with our brothers and sisters in the Philippines and in Honduras and Mexico and thine ancient covenant people, wherever they're at. We pray for Israel. We pray for the many names who've been brought before us, that you would pour out thy spirit upon them. And above all, Father, that you'd bless the church in its entirety and the work of the gospel. And that we would be found walking closer to thee each day with a greater love and understanding. So as we come now, Father, we pray that you'll bless our brother as he comes forth to be administered to, and that you'd pour out thy spirit upon him, and that he will have that testimony that indeed he has been touched and blessed of thee. And these things we ask, Father, in the name of Christ. Amen. Continue by the use of number 4. Shall we stand, please?
Thank you.
As you know, our brother is our speaker this evening, and I would ask for him your very careful and prayerful attention for him. It's not only that you offer a prayer for him and that he would have the strength and to physically deliver those things that the Lord has pressed upon his mind, but to pray for ourselves that we would be receptive of the word and have the strength to apply it to our lives. And so as our brother stands this evening, let's give him our prayerful and careful attention, our pastor, Brother Bob Hedrick.
Thank you, Hugh. I do appreciate your prayers. I got a touch of a sore throat tonight, so we'll see how long we last. But I think I'll be all right. I'm going to do things a little bit different tonight. I hope you guys brought your thinking caps, because this is kind of going to go more like a Sunday school lesson. And I hope you brought pencil and paper. If you didn't, you're going to need it. So if you don't have it, we got plenty that we can pass around. So just so you're aware, you will need it. Not for paper airplanes. We're going to do some exercises tonight, some writing exercises. That always made me cringe in school, because my writing skills are something to be desired. I guess that's a pretty common trait among men. But at least you guys don't have to have your handwriting up here for everybody to laugh at. So I'll give a couple minutes, make sure everybody's got paper and pen. We're going to be doing some of these exercises together. But a lot of these exercises are very personal. They're asking about what you think and what you feel and what's important to you. So what I write up here may not be what you have written on your paper, but what you have on your paper better be in your heart. First thing, I would like for you each to imagine you are at your 80th birthday party. Some of you, that's not very far away. Some of you may already passed it. Some of us, it's still quite a ways away. A whole lot of years in between. But I'd like to imagine you sitting down at your 80th birthday party. And you've lived a pretty good life. And they have a big party here at church. And all your friends are here. Your family's here. The ones you don't even like are here. People from work that you work with for 50 years, however long you worked, are here. Your neighbors are here that you live next to for 15 or 20 years, however long. They're all here. And they're all taking turns standing up and saying, you know, this is my tribute to this individual on his 80th birthday. I want you to write down what you want them to say. Go ahead. What do you want them to say? I'm going to give you a couple minutes. And give us some serious thought. What do you want people to say at your 80th birthday? quite a few people thinking and writing, and some folks the train hasn't left the station yet. You're just going to get as much out of this as you put in. So, some of you that have started writing, I'd like to list of things that we're going to put on our board. What do you want people to say about you?
She loved everybody.
She loved everybody. Keep in mind, what I'm writing up here is not necessarily what you're going to have on your paper. Your paper is you. So you guys can't say she loved everybody, because that wouldn't apply. Wanda? Amy? Can you guys, am I writing big enough?
Barely.
I'll try and write bigger. Have you heard the one so far? Somebody paid attention this morning. Let her light shine. Come on, guys, you ain't doing so good. Yeah, that'd be nice, too. Jay, I saw your hand kind of going up. Wow, faithful to God, wife, family, friends. Meredith?
Always ready to help anyone who needs a help, whether it be male or female.
Zach?
Love thy Lord thy God.
That's one of the commandments. Is that what you wanted to say at your 80th birthday? That you did that? Okay. It would have worked. Anybody else got something that they don't mind sharing? Adam?
Accomplished a lot.
Anything in specific? Like that? Something like that? Holly?
Virtuous.
Good, 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 good. Helen? Raised a good family. And don't we all wish our kids were normal? I got my work cut out for me. Emery, I saw your hand.
I like how someone would be able to say that they've been sufficiently humble and honest to the Lord.
Sufficiently humble and honored the Lord. Jane, did I see your hand again? Or whose hand do I see? Jenny?
This sounds silly. Have my children call me blessed, even though I've gotten after them so many times in their life, they would still do that. Like in the scripture.
Yeah. I'll make more room. You guys have more. Holly? Thankful that they met you, or thankful that you were in their life?
Yeah.
That's a good one. Now, you guys that are having all these suggestions, you're writing them down, aren't you? Because I'm going to have to erase all these, and we're going to need them later. Hopefully, at the end of when I'm done, it'll all make sense. Generous. Is that a good enough list? What's that? Good. That's a pretty tall order. Everybody got that down that wants it? Sense of humor. Yeah.
Patient.
I want patience and I want it now. Aaron?
Charity.
Had charity or something? I'm running out of room here. Can you guys read up? That's a pretty good list. I hope that when I'm 80, they say those things. Yes?
Wouldn't that be nice if those were said when you were 80 instead of dead?
Yeah, well, that's like Katie said, that she hopes somebody said happy birthday to her. But she made it that far. Okay, everybody got them down that wants them? Okay. You don't need all of them, just the ones that's going to apply to you. The ones that you're going to say, this is what I want them to say, unless you want to say everything. Jay? Pleasant to be around. Pleasant to be around. It's kind of like thankful that they were in your life.
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. Courageous. It's not. Should be. Everybody got it? Yeah, Pam? I don't think so. Trustful? Trustworthy? Yeah, that's the word I was thinking of. I just couldn't think of it. Trustworthy? Sure. Sound like we're a bunch of Boy Scouts, don't it? And we're kind of getting into the next phase. Hold your thought, John, because I may be using the next one. Everybody got this that pretty much wants it? Okay, I'm going to erase it all. And we're going to make another list. Keep yours, though. You'll need it. This one's kind of similar, but it's a little bit different. I want a list of things that you value. You know what I mean by that? Something that you care about, that's important to you, that has value to you. Physically or mentally. No, you're not still 80. This is right now and the here and now. What do you value right now? Dolly?
Honesty.
Haley?
Family.
Family? Oops, you know I shouldn't be doing this. You know, I'm going to separate those and make them two. Katie? John?
I'm driving one car.
Mark? Emery.
Friendship with God and man.
Jenny.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Freedom to worship and freedom to sound.
Holly. Pam?
Life.
I kind of value that, you know. Rhea? Some of the things we had on the other list would apply to this list as well, wouldn't it? Don?
Our free nation.
Got freedoms? I'm thinking, what was some of the things that we had on the other list? Courage? Was that one of them?
Good character?
Amy?
Yeah.
Your animals? I heard patience, that was it, Jenny? Patience? Zachary?
My mother and my father.
That's your family, right? Okay, just want to make sure. Becky? Got them right there.
The want to serve the Lord?
Desire? Where? Oh. I don't think I heard it, but I have been wrong before. Once I thought I was wrong, but then I found out later I wasn't. Adam? Meredith? Right up here. Amy?
A house.
House? Holly?
God.
God? That would be fairly valuable. Can I say prayer? Amy? This is a list of things that you value. Margaret.
Smile.
A smile. Zach?
Friends.
Got friends right there, buddy. But keep trying. Don.
Presence of the Holy Spirit.
You guys are really making it hard on yourself, but we're going to keep going. Aaron?
Good name or reputation.
Zachary?
Jesus.
Jesus. I'll put that up there. Jenny?
I should, down to this more than I do, admonition.
Admonition?
Someone just talks to you and tell you when you're wrong and to take it the right way.
I have one on my list that nobody's mentioned yet, so I'm going to give you a little more and see if you guys hit it. Zachary?
Help others.
Do you value? How about we put that on desire to help others? Does that work for you? Marlene? That's beyond family and friends. That's just the world in general. Because that's my understanding of what you meant. Adam?
Loyalty.
Loyalty. Helen? That's a big one. I think I'm running out of room. I'm going to include that one with like the Holy Spirit and the scriptures and those things that came about because of that restoration of the gospel. Amy?
Talents?
John? Sacrament? Okay, we're running out of time. I got one more. I'm going to ask if you guys want to add it to the list. Eternal life? Is that one okay for you? You want to add that to the list? I know there's more out there, and you can add them to your list. Your own personal list of values. And now comes the fun part. What we're going to do as a group. I want you to prioritize it. I told you guys were making yourselves a whole lot of work. Prioritize it. I think we probably could. That means rank them the most important to not as important. We're going to make that number one?
No.
I think it's going to be hard to really separate those. And this one. How many ones do you want? Okay, are we getting into twos now? We have to limit how many ones we're going to have, otherwise we'll have a whole thing of ones. The idea is to prioritize it, see which one's really important. Is family number two? Okay. Ministries two.
Prayer. Sacrament.
I don't know how many you want. We're making this up as we're going. We're running low and a little short on time here. The list that you have, that you wrote down, remember, on your piece of paper, you need to prioritize those. And that brings us to our third. Everybody got this list that wants it? May have to do it later. Our third little exercise. Taking the first two exercises, you should have a list of things that you want people to say about you and things that you value. I want you to make a mission statement for yourself. I saw that face, Michelle. It's something you see a lot of corporations doing. The city does it. A mission statement. Schools make them. What's the purpose of the mission statement? It does? Okay. What is it? Article 14. You got it handy? Article 14 of the... Okay. But that's the church's mission statement. What's your mission statement? And that's something that's going to be pretty hard to do tonight. But it's something I want you guys to think about. But the reason, like we talked about, with why churches have, or why schools, businesses, cities have mission statements, and so that everybody in the company knows what is supposed to be important. There's a misconception between what is urgent and what is important. Those two are not synonymous. The mission statement says, this is what's important. This is what I'm going to base my life on. This is my compass, I guess. A mission statement is like, I will be a Christian man, a mature Christian man, and everything that implies. I will serve God. I will love my family. I will perform my chosen profession to the utmost of my abilities. And they're all related to what we did the first two times. What do we want people to say on our 80th birthday? And what do we want? What do we value? And putting that into a written form, something you can look at and remind yourself every once in a while. I bet you guys wondered if I was ever going to open the scriptures tonight. I'm going to now. But I wanted to do those exercises to get you thinking about your own personal mission statement. Excuse me. A mission statement describes how you will choose to live amid the unpredictable circumstances and emotions that affect your life. When whatever comes up that you weren't planning on, you plug it into your mission statement. And you know what? As a church, like Jay said, we have one in the Articles of Faith Practice. And in reality, we have one when we got baptized. And this is something you can use as part of yours. Turn to page 259 in the Book of Mormon. This is the Mosiah in the 9th chapter. Uh, I'll start with the 38th verse. And it came to pass, they said unto them, Behold, here are the waters of Mormon, for thus were they called. And now as ye are desirous to come into the fold of God, and to be called His people, and are willing to bear one another's burdens, that they may be light. Was that one of the things that we thought was important? When we, on our 80th birthday and the values? That we would be found compassionate? That we would be caring for other people? That other people's souls were valuable? We consider them valuable. Our family and our friends, we gave them value. So you can plug these ideals into this. Yea, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn. And comfort those who stand in need of comfort. And stand as witnesses of God at all times, and in all things, and in all places that ye may be in, even until death. Would that be character, Jay? Having all those qualities that we talked about, caring for people, and be willing to serve God any place, any time. This is a mission statement. This is what we should focus our lives on. That ye may be redeemed of God and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that ye may have eternal life. Was eternal life one of the things we valued? Yeah, sure. Of course. What that's what we're here for. Is to determine our eternal life, where it will be. So, hopefully you're going to go home and write kind of a mission statement for your own self. Similar to that, you can even use that. You don't have to do anything more. If you live that, you're doing great. But, you know, when you come up with a mission statement, or if you decide to use this, and you type it up on the computer in a fancy font and print it out and look at it, and you put it in a folder and put it in your filing cabinet and put it away, and it won't do you a bit of good. When someone is trying to reorganize their life, and they decide, okay, I need to focus on what's important, and this is what I'm going to determine is important. Periodically, you got to get that thing out and look at it. Once a week, you get out and say, okay, how am I doing on, if you decide to number yours, how am I doing on number 3? Am I exhibiting courage? Or am I bearing one another's burdens? You have to question yourself. It's called connecting to the mission. Connect to it. Remember it. I'll say, okay, yeah. Remember what it was for, is to guide you. When things come up that's not for sure what you're supposed to do, you have something to guide you. So that you're not overcome with emotions or problems that come up in the spur of the moment. And you know, it's really cool. God's pretty smart. You got a chance once a week, actually twice a week, actually 3 times a week, to reconnect with your mission. Hopefully that's what you came here to do tonight. You didn't know you had a mission, did you? You already got one. I hope this exercise helps you clarify it, have it down written in paper. But you have a mission. And coming here to church connects you to it. It encourages you. Hebrews in the 10th chapter. Thank you. It talks about getting together. And I'll start with the 23rd verse. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We should take every opportunity we can to renew ourselves, to connect with the mission that we have laid out for our lives, to live deliberately in our life. 23rd verse is, hold fast. That doesn't mean hold quickly. It means hold tightly, firmly. Remember the rod of iron? You're hanging off the end of the rope over a cliff, and you're hanging on for dear life. Your knuckles are white because you're holding on so tight, because you don't want to let go. Letting go of the rod of iron will bring you death, physically and spiritually. Without wavering. Being that steady, calm rock when trials are going around us. Having courage. Standing up to the waves instead of just bowing down to them. The 24th verse. Consider one another to provoke unto love. Provoke is kind of an interesting word. It means to call forth in the Latin. And makes me think of the old Western when the gunfighters call them out into the streets for a gunfight. It's a challenge. We think of provoking as bringing somebody to anger, but it's a challenge. It's to stir them up to action. Do something. Challenge them. And that doesn't mean that not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together so the preacher can provoke us. It's provoking one another. I have a responsibility up here to try and help. But you have as much responsibility to the person sitting right next to you as I do. I'm provoking not to anger, but to love. And to good works. Why? Because they're required for that eternal life that we say is so important. They're required. If you have not charity, you are nothing. Remember that? Okay, turn over to Alma. 21st chapter. It's on page 479. Remember the exercise? This is an example of that. Yea, and he was a man who was firm in the faith of Christ. He was firm. He was a rock. He was an example to those around about him when times got tough. This is a man who led the armies of the Nephites when the Lamanites were attacking them. He was a leader. He was an example. We're all leaders and examples to those around about us. We have to be firm in our faith. And he had sworn with an oath to defend his people, his rights, and his country, and his religion, even to the loss of his blood. And the Nephites were taught to defend themselves against their enemies, even to the shedding of blood, if it were necessary. Yea, and they were also taught never to give an offense. Yea, and never to raise the sword, except it were against an enemy, except it were to preserve their lives. And this was their faith, that by so doing, God would prosper them in the land. Or in other words, if they were faithful in keeping the commandments of God, that he would prosper them in the land, yea, warn them to flee or to prepare for war according to their danger. and also that God would make it known to them whether they should go to defend themselves against their enemies, and by so doing, the Lord would deliver them. And this was the faith of Moroni. That was the faith that he was so strong in, knowing that God cared about his people and would make known what needed to be done. And his heart did glory in it, not in the shedding of blood, but in doing good, in preserving his people, yea, in keeping the commandments of God, yea, in resisting iniquity. He gloried in resisting iniquity. It's not always easy, it's sometimes difficult, but he gloried in it. Yea, verily, verily, I say unto you, if all men had been and were and ever would be like unto Moroni, behold, the very powers of hell would have been shaken forever. Yea, the devil would never have power over the hearts of the children of men. Let that sink in a little bit. If we were all like Moroni, what could God do with us? A room full of Moronis. The very powers of hell would be shaken. Is this what we want people to say about us on our 80th birthday? Wow. That'd be cool. You know, if we had a world full of Codys, what would God be able to do? Or a room full of fill in the blank. That's something for you to ask yourself. What could God do with a room full of Bobs? It's calling us to a higher calling. It's calling us to a higher character. But it's not impossible. Moroni was just one man of many that were like that. Turning over into Proverbs in the 31st chapter. Got a feeling Holly was referring to this when she mentioned her virtuous thing when we made our list.
And Jenny.
That's right. I'm just going to read the 28th verse. Start at the 28th verse. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruits of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Is that what we want, ladies, to be known for? If this is what we want, ladies, and if Moroni is what we want in men, it's up to us to do it. Our reputations aren't written by ourselves. Our reputations are written by those who see us and watch us. Hear us. Those who are our reputations are formed by the people when we are 80 years old looking around and describing us. Does your mission statement reflect what you want to be called when you're 80 years old? Does your life reflect your mission statement? Oh, how precious it would be. We talk about, well, you know, what other people think about us. What do we want other people to say about us when we're 80 years old? How much more important is it to hear what God says to us when we die? When he says, come in. Welcome, good and faithful servant. Where does that rank in our priorities? That's eternal life. That's the result of living our mission statement, of living the way God has commanded us to live. And I thank you for your time. Proverbs 31, and I read 28 to 31.
Forget the announcement for the coming week. We will close by the use of number 174. I saw that, Betty. 174. Shall we stand as we sing, please?